All right, we're going to keep this clock for you. We talked about it during the break. And we've got this countdown clock now that'll get us all the way down to the first ballots being cast. And, of course, the ballots are always cast first where? Dixville Notch, New Hampshire. That's right, sir. You in the back, you got it right. 504 days, 18 hours, 41 minutes. And the folks, the good folks in northern New Hampshire at Dixville Notch will go and cast their ballots. They've been doing this midnight voting thing for an awfully long time. But the number of people that vote there, very small last time around. Hillary Clinton got 4 votes. Donald Trump got 2 votes. Gary Johnson and Mitt Romney each got a vote apiece. So, you know, 8 votes total. In 2012, there were 10. In 2008, there were 21. 26 the year before that and 27 the year before that. Maybe Dixville Notch is shrinking at any rate. Dixville Notch, the first ballots of 2020 will happen in Dixville Notch, as they always do. They're not particularly accurate about anything. They picked Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama twice, George Bush once, but they also picked, George H.W. Bush, Bob Dole. All sorts of things went on there, and so it is. All right, so moving on, I want to give you an idea. When I say to the left, don't overemphasize going far left. You know, don't overplay your hand. Be cool. You could win this thing. Just be cool, be humble, be good about it. And you don't have that. What you have is shrill all the time. The most extreme positions possible, and it seems like they're trying to outdo each other. You've got, 24 on the campaign trail, 20 that have made the official cut to be in Miami on the debate stages. What is that, June 28th and 29th next week, right? Week after, whatever that is. So here they are, totally overplaying their hand. Let me give you some examples of some of the things being said by this herd of Democrats, plus, of course, a little from AOC because we can't help it, and you should hear that. Now, Bernie Sanders, of course, is the original radical, dim-witted as he may be, and, well, he is. He's never been considered a serious candidate for president, never. In fact, you talk to people from Vermont, and they say, he's just kind of a kook. You know, he's kind of a, you know, he's a fringe guy. Nobody took him seriously. And now he's being questioned about some of the things that he stands for. Democratic socialism, which means taking over, really, the means of production, everything the government takes charge of. Now, what's strange about this to me is you go back to the 1960s and the rules for radicals and the 1968 Democratic convention in Chicago and the chaos and the rioting and all the terrible things that were going on because the Democrats said, question authority, you know, do not trust the government. And now they've gone totally 180 degrees the other direction. Everything the government does is great, of course, except for police, because police are brutal, horrible individuals that attack people based on race, which, by the way, do you not understand, my good friends on the left? The police, that is the government. That is the government that you are so enamored with, but you fear this part. So you want more government, more control, then you want more police, more jackbooted thugs, as you put it. Anyhow. Let's go to bite number 2. We'll get started with Bernie Sanders here today to give you a flavor of how they're overplaying their hand. Bite number 2, go.
Hey, here's a quote from you. I favor the public ownership of utilities, banks, and major industries. Senator, do you still believe that in the public ownership of major industries?
Chris,
and if not, why?
I live in the city that you're talking, where I am right now. We do have public ownership of our electric department, and they do a pretty good job. A lot of electric departments all over this country are publicly owned. Do I believe that workers should have more say and be sitting on the boards of large corporations? Yes, I do. Do I believe that we should break up some of the major banks on Wall Street and support credit unions and community banks? Yes, I do. So I think really one of the things that we have to look at is the fact that power in this country rests with just a handful of people.
Well, there is some truth in what he said there in one point. Community banks, locally owned and controlled banks. You know, there's a whole bunch of banks in North and South Dakota that during the banking crisis just a few years ago never had an issue. You know, want to know why? When somebody came in for a mortgage, and we had the big mortgage bubble burst all over the country, those banks never got themselves in trouble because they still thought, well, if you need a mortgage, you have to have a credit background check and we'll check your job and you have to put 20% down. You see, they stuck to traditional banking rules. They didn't get sucked into this nonsense of giving people loans that they couldn't afford and knew they could never pay back because of reckless lending practices. So, you know, and many of those reckless lending practices were foisted upon the big banks by the federal government. You have to give loans to these people. These people have to have an equal opportunity to have the American dream to buy a house, but we're giving money to people that can't pay it back. You have to do it. Yeah, the banking bills of the 1990s, the Bill Clinton administration forced into doing it. By the way, Bernie Sanders also says that you and I would be delighted, absolutely delighted, thrilled to pay more taxes. Can you believe that? He said we'd be thrilled to pay more taxes, delighted, in fact, if we got all of these government services like health care and free college and all everything else. And he cites Germany as the example to live by. Let's go to bite number three with Bernie Sanders. Oh, we're going to have to wait on that. We'll get back to you on that on the Steve Gruber Show. I guess that one's a little bit too long. I'm sorry about that. New York yelling at me. But we're going to get to that because I want you to hear how Bernie Sanders compares us to Germany. How he compares us to Europe and how he thinks that we can be delighted and thrilled to pay all of these extra amounts of money. It seems odd. And then in the next couple of hours, we're going to get to Ilhan Omar, Kirsten Gillibrand, the most dangerous woman in America, AOC. And then we have this new rising star of the radical left who believes that all means of production should be taken over by the government, no matter what it takes, by any means necessary. And she is an elected official in Colorado. Place I just visited. Denver, the place where you can get high not once, but twice, apparently. It's 25 after on a Monday. Good to have you here. The Steve Gruber Show, continuing.